Good morning. One of the puzzling things about the behavior of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar is that on one hand, they were witnessed nes after nes after nes, the Dam, Sefadei, Akinem, Arav. Time and time again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the Yad HaGadoyla, different Nisim v'Nefloyis to save Klal Yisrael. And yet, just a few days after it all culminated in Kriyas Yam Suf, they ran out of water, and immediately, Vayiloinu Amal Moshe Lemer Manishter, suddenly, they're in a panic. What are we going to drink? How are we going to survive? What's going on? How could they question HaKadosh Baruch Hu after witnessing so many Nisim v'Nefloyis? Rosham Shofal Hirsch points out that there are two very different kinds of bitachon people have. It's very easy, or it's easier for a person to have bitachon when it comes to global matters. They have bitachon that when Klal Yisrael has a crisis, when Klal Yisrael is faced with an enemy, with Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get involved, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save Klal Yisrael. That's one level. But then, when they're out in the Midbar, and one by one, they start running out of water. And they're faced with an individual crisis. They don't have the water. They don't have what to give their family. That's already a private matter. That's that's in their day-to-day existence. There, it's much harder for a person to apply the amunah, to apply the pitachon to his personal circumstance. And that's why, when it was Klal Yisrael, when it was Yam Suf, when it was between the Mitzrayim and the Yidden, there they saw the Nisim. But then, when it came to their day-to-day existence, that caused by Yiloinu Al Moshe Lemer Manishta. And what Kadosh Baruch Hu responded was, Im Shemaya Tishma L'Kol Hashem L'Kecha, V'Hayosher Be'enov Tasa. It's a haftacha that if a person acts the way he's supposed to, he deals in business and he deals his private hanhago is the way it's supposed to, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a haftacha that he'll take care of each and every yid in Klal Yisrael individually. Now we've learned over the past few weeks the halachos of Schiras Payalim, and as we learned that when you hire a worker, once he starts the job, the employer is locked in, he cannot fire him. A payel, a worker, on the other hand, because of the pasuk of Kili B'nei Yisrael, is always free to quit, to resign whenever he chooses. If an employer rescinds a job offer before the job began, so we discussed last week, there's a concept of garmi, of davar avod, that if the worker gave up a job opportunity because of your offer, you're going to be responsible to pay. Even though there's no contract, he didn't start the work, since, because of your offer, he turned down other jobs, and now those jobs aren't available, you're a mazik, garmi, and you're going to have to pay for that loss. Now, what that means is that if you ever want to claim a loss, you know, a person cancels a doctor's appointment, the doctor will have to prove two things. He'll have to prove that had you not made the appointment, he would have had other patients. And therefore, because of your appointment, he lost out other clients. He'll also have to establish, or it'll have to be, the best, and we'll have to determine, that you canceled so late that it was no longer possible to find somebody else. In such a case, you're a mazik. Again, there was difference as far as what the makar of the chiyuv is, but you're going to have to pay for the damage that you caused to the doctor. So, Maisa Shehoya, there was a young girl, 5 years old, who was both very spoiled and very opinionated. Her birthday was coming up, so she decided she wanted to have banana-flavored cupcakes for her birthday. Okay, they had no choice. The father calls a bakery and orders 25 banana-flavored cupcakes. V'yi hayoyim, the big day comes, the birthday. And the little princess wakes up in the morning and decides banana flavor is out, strawberry is in, she doesn't want the banana cupcakes. So the father goes to the bakery and says, listen, I'm very sorry, I put in the order for the cupcakes, but my daughter changed her mind, and I want strawberry cupcakes instead. The bakery says, what do you mean? You put in the order, it's too late. What is the din? So, the Tshuvas HaRosh case happened to have not been about cupcakes. Tshuvas HaRosh has a very similar case. It's quoted in Sifches, where he says, it depends. If you're able, the baker is able to sell these cupcakes to somebody else, then you have no obligation. Now, it's Mechusar Amonah. You made a commitment, you said you're going to buy and you're not, so it's Mechusar Amonah. We'll have to deal with Trey Tari, whether it's an oinus, not an oinus, that's for another time. But as far as having to pay, since he's able to sell to another customer, there is no hefzer, there is no loss, you will not have to pay if there's another customer. On the other hand, if there's no market for banana-flavored cupcakes, and there's nothing to do with them, then the halacha is, you put in the order, you're going to have to pay. And the Nesivus says, what's going on over here? If I hire a worker, I have him come and I have him do a job for me. And then when he finishes the job, I say, I changed my mind. I don't really want it. I'm not interested. Go sell it to someone else. Can I do that? Definitely not. I hired a worker. He did the job. He gets paid. So whether he could sell it somewhere else, whether he can't, it's totally irrelevant. He did the job. He's entitled to get paid. So why is the rush make chalukim, whether you could sell it, you can't sell it? What's going on over here? So I'm going to see if it's a beautiful answer. He says, let's think for a minute what's happening. When I call a baker, and for that matter, anytime I put in an order, I order custom furniture. Am I hiring the person to be my worker and to make this furniture for me? No. So like this, if I called up a baker and I said, listen, come to my house. I have a kitchen, I have bananas, I have sugar, I have flour. Come to my house and I'm hiring you for the next hour. Go ahead and start baking cupcakes. Then he's a worker. I've hired him. That's Schiras Poilim. If I hire a worker, I have to pay him for the job that he did. And then the Rosh's sock would not apply. But Zakhni Nesiva, that's not what happened here. I called the baker, I put in an order. When he gets up the next morning and starts making the cupcakes, is he working for me? Is he my pile? No. It's nothing more. I made a commitment. I plan on buying 25 banana cupcakes tomorrow. So if you make it, you have it ready, I'm going to come buy it. It's a commitment to buy something. Now, when you make a commitment to buy something, this is already mekachumemka. Did you make a kinyan? Is there a contract? The hagbah, mashicha, hischaivas? There's no kinyan. So therefore, Zok the Rosh, since you didn't, it's not poilim, you didn't hire him to do it, you just made a havtocha. Tomorrow morning, you should know you have a customer for these cupcakes. So in that case, we can only look at the hefzer. If I caused a loss, I'm going to have to pay. If I didn't cause a loss, I'm not going to. Now, based on this understanding, it'll come out of a tremendous chiddush. How much do the cupcakes cost? So if you walk into a bakery, you pay 50 cents. How much did it cost the baker to make these cupcakes? So I don't know, but let's say about a quarter. What do I owe him when I back out? Now, if I hired a pile to do a job and he did the job, I have to pay him the full amount. But according to the Nesivus, there's no poilim over here. I made a haftach. Tomorrow I'm going to buy it from you. Now if I back out, it's true, I'm a chusar amon, it's aser. But there's no chiyah for that. The reason why I have to pay you is garmi. I caused you a loss. Yesterday you had perfectly good bananas and flour and sugar. Now because of my say-so, you made cupcakes that are worthless. No one else wants to buy them. I've caused you to lose that money. You've ruined these ingredients. But if that's the case, I'm only going to have to pay you your actual cost of making them. I have no obligation to pay you the 50 cents, what you would have sold it for. That's true. That's true. But that's Minyas HaRevach. That means I prevented you from doing something which would make money. Minyas HaRevach, in most cases, is going to be Pater in a garmi. Okay, deposit is a different story. That's, you know, then we'll have to deal with it. If it's a non-refundable deposit, then in Hilchos Esmachta we'll have to get to it. In all likelihood, you'll be able to keep it. But as far as Mazik, we have to look at damage, not lost profit opportunity. So the Rosh doesn't discuss it, but the Erech Shai in Siman Yodalit says that when we factor in the loss, we can factor in his labor. Now, it doesn't mean his profit margin, doesn't mean, you know, the fact that it's more profitable to run a bakery, but however much time he spent on it, whatever the normal hourly rate is, Erech Shai says, that's included in the hefsid. But again, the profit margin wouldn't be.
Isn't that bringing it more into a Paul case?
No. No, because the point is hefsid. What the Erech Shai's chiddush is the same way taking perfectly good bananas and making worthless cupcakes out of is a mazik because you've destroyed these bananas, these ingredients. So taking time that for a poyel who normally is working and doing something and wasting that time is also called an expense. But it's only, again, the actual labor time, not any profit margin, not anything above that. There's usually something extra. But again, if it coincides to be the same, great. What? But overhead is not a garmi, because they had the bakery running anyway. So that you're not going to be able to factor. It's going to have to be direct costs. You're not going to be able to factor in your advertising and your overhead. Okay, fine. Okay, listen, that will depend on the case. That's, you know. Now, another interesting point that comes out is because we're dealing with Mazik over here, who has to sell the cupcakes? So Sma says the baker is the one that has to do the tircha. He has the one that he has to go ahead and do what he can to sell the cupcakes. Which means that he's going to have to, for the 50 cents he probably won't be able to sell it for, but he's going to have to try to mitigate his loss. And therefore, if I hang up a sign, banana special of the day, banana cupcakes, or, 25 cents a piece, he'll be able to recover his expenses. He would have a chiv to do that, and the person putting in the order would not be liable. Okay, very good, very good. So I would say it depends. If you had, you made enough cupcakes, at the end of the day, you're going to end up with leftovers. And therefore, by selling these, you're going to take away from your other customers. I don't think you have a chiyuv to do that. Because that would still be, the fact that you made these extra ones is going to be a mazik. On the other hand, if every day you sell out of your entire inventory, and now you're just going to sell these extras, then you'd have a chiyuv to do it. But it's a good point. It's not discussed before in any of the poskim. His point was that you're cannibalizing your other sales. If you're hanging up this sign, so now someone who was going to come in and order buy a chocolate cupcake for the 50 cents is now going to pay the 25 cents for the banana. It depends how desperate they are, I guess. Okay, good. So that, the details will let all the businessmen work out. But the halach is we're going to look, is it a mazik or not? And mazik always has a much higher, benchmark that you have to meet before you can be mechayev someone to pay. Now, this is all, as kind of we were discussing, so you offer someone a job, you back out. So the halacha is, if you caused a loss, if you gave up other job opportunities, you're going to have to pay. Now let's move on and discuss the other side of the coin. You hire an accountant, he's working for you throughout the year. April 15th, he decides this job is too stressful. Paul Yochel Achseva, he wants to quit. So what's the halacha? So over here we had in the Mishnah that a davar ha'avod, if you hire someone to do a job and it's a davar ha'avod, if he quits today, the employer is going to lose money. There the halacha is he is not allowed to quit. Now the Mishnah explains there are two types of davar ha'avod. Our accounting case is very easy to understand. If he quits, my taxes are not going to get filed on time. I'm going to get hit with a penalty. I'm going to lose money. That's clear, davar avud, he does not have the right to quit. But the Mishnah adds other examples of your hire someone to bring supplies for a chasana or for a funeral. There, if you don't have a band at the wedding, you're not going to lose any money. You'll save a few dollars. But you hired someone because you wanted the wedding to be labored, like you wanted you wanted music there. If the band decides after the first dance that they're quitting, you're not going to have music at your chasana. So while you're not losing money, what you hired them for, the inyan, the concept, the fact that you wanted music at the wedding, if they quit, you're not going to be able to find a replacement, it's too late. And therefore the inyan is called avad, and this halacha will apply. And in such cases, if a band leader decides in the middle of a chasidah they want to quit, it's a davar avod, kelim in Israel does not apply, and they would be mechuyev to continue working. Now there's... We'll get to that in a minute. Now there's actually a fair amount of discussion, how do you define a davar avod? What would be, for example, if your cleaning lady quits? Is that a davar avod or not? What? Okay. So there's an interesting discussion in the Paiskim. They say it depends how wealthy the family is. If it's from a family who they've had cleaning help for years, that means the mother, the woman of the house just hasn't ironed a shirt in decades, and it doesn't know how to, they will not be able to cope once the cleaning help leaves. That's a davar avod. There's no difference between not having music at a wedding or not having your laundry done. It means things are not going to happen the way they're supposed to. On the other hand, if they've never had cleaning help before, and finally they decided to splurge and they decided to get it, and now a few weeks later they quit, so obviously they can manage. It might be terech, it might be somewhat less pleasant, but since everything that needs to get done will get done, it would not have the din of a davar avod. What about a Rebbe? A Rebbe or a teacher that quits? So, conceptually, this is considered davar avod. Because although in a few days you'll find a replacement, for 2 or 3 days the kids will be running wild, they won't be learning, and that time is lost, it's gone. So it's considered davar avod. Afal Pikein, the Shach Paskins, that if they quit just before midwinter vacation, or if the parents anyway were not particular, they don't care. Whenever they go down to Florida, they pull their kids out of school for a couple of days. So you see, they don't care about a day or two of learning. In such a case, it would not be considered a davar avod. We'll have to look at the situation. Now, halacha l'maaseh, this applies by a private tutor. When you're dealing with a rebbe or with a teacher, it is almost always a davar avod. Because anyone who had children in school knows that if a rebbe leaves in the middle of the year, you can find a replacement immediately, but it's not the same. It's sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and just the very fact that you're switching in the middle of the year and you're switching tracks is probably considered a davar avod, and it would be also for a person just to back out in the middle. Now, there was actually an interesting. Okay, so we're going to have to deal with an oinus later on. Right now, we're dealing with, for some reason, they decided to quit. If something happens, they have a child, something they can't work, it's an oinus, that will have different halachas. So we're going to have to also deal with what's an oinus. I mean, now they got married, they can commute. So we're going to have to deal with that, Mitzvah Hashem, next week. What? Okay, that's true. I can wait to get married. I don't know if the chassan's going to wait, but we'll have to deal with how high of a bar. Do you need an oinus, as in like, type of oinus that you can be, hatzalos nefashos, that it's possible you can be mechal Shabbos for such a pikuach nefesh, or we'll have to deal with that. Yes, there will be. The short answer is yes. Well, next week we'll get into exactly what you need for an oinus. There was an interesting story. We're on tape, so we'll call it a theoretical story. A person was involved in a certain business with either short sales or money. It was a little bit of a questionable business, to say it nicely. And he had someone working for him, and he was doing the legwork for him. And this was going on for a while. And in the middle of the process, the worker decided, you know what, I had enough of this slimy line of work, and he quit. The employer came with tainus. How can you do this? We're in the middle of this short sale, this money laundering operation that we're running, and you're walking out of the middle. I'm going to have a hefset. It's a davar avod. Now, obviously, if you're dealing with something which is usur, obviously, if it's usur to do, it's usur to do. It's not a davar avod that you can't do an isur. But let's just assume, as far as isur v'heter, it wasn't straight out usur, but it was just a mundane type of way to earn a buck. So there's a very interesting Chazonish. Chazonish in Bava Kamma, Simon Chav Aleph, Islam and Gimel, has a case where you hired a person to find Mitzias. You lived, let's say, on the shore, and like a mile or two out, there was a bunch of rocks and reefs, and there were shipwrecks all the time. So there was a shipwreck, there were things floating to the shore, you hired someone to see, find valuables and pick it up for you. The person quit in the middle of the job. The employer says, Davar Avod, things are washing to the shore, I'm losing an opportunity to make money. This is not a Davar Avod. Davar Avod means a person has, the classic case is this is going to be a hefsid. You have the accountant to file the taxes, he quits on April 15th, you're going to have a loss. That's a clear Davar Avod. The next level is you have a business running, you're earning a profit, and someone quits on you in middle, you know, suddenly, and you're going to lose clients, you're going to lose an opportunity to earn money. That's also a Davar Avod. It's a regular, it's a legitimate business, it's running the way a normal business runs. Lost profits is enough to be a Davar Avod for this halach. However, Zakh Chazaynish, if you're having someone just picking up mitzius, a windfall, that's not a profit or a normal business in the Derech HaOlam, he says that does not qualify for a Davar Avod. And therefore, the poet would be able to quit. Now, based on this Chazaynish, if this person is engaged in this questionable activity, I think Chazaynish would apply. It's not a normal way in the Derech HaOlam for a person to make money, hopefully. And therefore, if the halach of Davar Avod would not apply, and he would be able to be chayzer and back out whenever he wants. Okay, that might be, if he invested money that he'll lose, it might be different. But assuming it was just a question of he's trying to provide a service and trying to make a few dollars in this way, then I think the Chazaynish would apply. No. The case is not an Isser. Exactly. And there he says that it's not a Davar Avod, so Kol Shekein in such a case. It's not clear. Now, it comes out, there's a very interesting point that has to be made. Davar Avod means your accountant quits on April 15th. If he walks out, you're going to have a loss. What happens if you hire, let's say, you know, a Rebbe walks out in the middle of the year, that's a Davar Avod, you can stop it. What happens if you hire a Rebbe, it's every year it's a new contract. At the end of the year, he tells you, you know what, I'm leaving. And you say, I'm stuck. What do you mean? You're our star Rebbe. I can't find a replacement. I want you to stay. Is that a Davar Avod? Absolutely not. Because Davar Avod just means, if I commit to do something, I commit to do your taxes this year. If I want to quit in middle, where I'm going to cause you a loss, even though it says, Kili B'nai Yisrael, Davar Avod says, finish the job. But if I already did what I committed to do, and now you want me to renew the contract, you want me to do next year's financials, I never obligated myself to do that. You can't come to me with complaints you're going to have a loss. That was never in the cards. So in such a case where I never made the obligation, the concept of Davar Avod doesn't really apply. Now it comes out, a few weeks ago someone pointed out, that whenever you sign a contract with a worker for a year, for a period of time, so someone pointed out it's a very unfair contract. Because the worker, we learned, can back out whenever he wants. Kili B'nai Yisrael. The employer, on the other hand, is locked in until the end of the term. So someone pointed out it makes no sense for an employer to do it because he's locking himself in and getting no benefit. But what comes out today is there is a benefit. Because if you lock a person in for 6 months, it's true Kili B'nai Yisrael, he can normally quit. But he will not be able to quit if it causes a loss, if it's Davar Avod. So therefore, as long as there is a period of time, until the end, the worker will be locked in, he can quit in a way that will cause a loss. If he can walk away and you'll find a replacement, it'll be mutter, even though there's a contract. But at least when there's a Davar Avod, you'll be protected, and you won't be able to fire him midstream. Now today, where many employment is at will, and it's understood that either party has the right to back out at any time. There is no long-term commitment. The concept of Davar Avod will be very limited. Because since I never committed to stay on the job, and it was day by day, you can't call it a Davar Avod when I decide to leave. So again, if you go with the Chazaynish or with different Svaras, there is some sort of minimum notice you have to give, 2 weeks, whatever. So Davar Avod will lock you in for those 2 weeks. But more than that, since there was never a commitment to stay on, the concept of Davar Avod would not really apply.
Okay, let's take the scenario of the yeshiva in high school, where the ninth grade Rebbe is a very have 25 registration 25 talmidim for the class, and all of a sudden comes July, the ninth grade rebbe says, you know, I'm going somewhere else. And when 25 parents find out, 15 of them are going to follow that rebbe to the other yeshiva.
I would suggest you keep that Rebbe very happy. It means if he made a commitment, he's going to stay for next year. If you hired him for the next...
What's a commitment? The fact that he introduced, that he spoke in the open house, is that a commitment?
It's a factual question. It's possible. It depends on the case. But if there was no commitment, just because we didn't discuss it, had the school decided that they wanted, you know, that the Rosh Hashiva's son was looking for a shteller, and he decided to hire him for a ninth grade rebbe, what would happen then? Would the school feel that they had a commitment to this ninth grade rebbe?
But they probably would lose the classes.
Okay, that's their decision. You have to look at, is there a commitment or not? Well, when there is, you know, in each case, whether there was or wasn't a commitment, that's something which keeps Dina and Batei Din different busy. But it's if to the extent that there was no commitment, I don't think you can apply the concept of davar avod. It doesn't really. I mean, you need a contract. You need an agreement. Smichas das was very important when it came to mechusar amana, when it came to ani mahapach. But in this, if there was nothing discussed, then nothing, no reason for them to understand there was a commitment, I don't think that would make a difference.
I mean, in this case,
okay, you know, let me just go on. We have some more things to cover before. Right, so now the question is, now that it's a davar avod, halacha is the accountant on April 15th does not have the right to back out, Kili b'nei Yisrael doesn't apply. What is the recourse? What can you do to have to force the person to work? So halacha over here is, the Mishnah says, halacha is seicher aleihem oimata. You have two options. The first is seicher aleihem. You go ahead, you hire other workers, you pay them through the roof, you pay whatever you need to pay them to get the job done, and you send the bill to the first workers. In other words, since the first worker had no right to back out, he has a responsibility to complete the job, you can go ahead and hire other workers at their expense. Now whenever we deal with the davar avod, if you can find other workers to do the job, by definition, it's not a davar avod. What's the loss? Just hire the next people. So the case over here is, for the amount you promised the first person, there's no one available. But if you add a couple of dollars, if you're willing to pay more, then for the right price, you'll find anyone to do the job. So here the halacha is, you can pay the next person more and bill the first worker. Now, there are limits to this. The halacha is, normally you can only pay them akidei schara. In other words, if the first workers were supposed to do a job, the job where they were going to get paid $2,000 for the job, you can pay the new workers up to $2,000 extra. In other words, the worker that's quitting on you, Shaloi Kedin, can lose up to the amount he was expecting to gain. More than that, not. Now, as Bachlagos Rishayim, Rashi seems to learn to limit this. You could only use, if the first person did the job, you didn't pay him yet, whatever you owe him, you can use and pay the second person. But if you've paid him, or if he didn't start the job, Rashi learns this won't apply. But Rav Yishayim learned that no. Even if you've paid the person, the original worker can lose up to the amount that he was supposed to gain. You can use that to hire the next workers. That's true. So the next option that you have is maton. You can fool the first workers. You can go, and the way the Rambam explains it, you go over to the band leader and tell him, listen, I know you're under stress, it's very hard for you. Continue the job, I'll give you an extra $1,000. He continues. When he finishes, he asks for the money. You tell him, very sorry. Halacha is, I don't owe you a penny. Because halacha is maton. The halacha is, you didn't have the right to back out, and therefore I was lying. So if he knows it, so he's going to ask for the money up front.
Right.
But the halacha is, even if you pay him up front, since he had no right to back out, the halacha is it's mutter to be mad to him. You can bring him to Bezin afterwards, and you can get the money back.
So he went to the shir, he does all these things.
If he goes to the shir, you're in trouble. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. So now there's a very interesting question over here. What's happening? Your worker came to you, starts the job. Admittedly, he decided he had enough, he's quitting. So davar avur, api halacha, he should not have the right. So you mat to him. You tell him, don't worry, I'll pay you double. It'll be good, it's worth your while. And he finishes the job. How are you allowed to lie to him? How are you allowed to promise him more if you have no intention of keeping him? What's the answer? So the Yaivitz, we had in Gittin Daf Yudalid, says, you saw it? And he says, there's no Isser of Sheker to stop someone from stealing from you. If a person comes to you with a gun, once he says, give me $5,000 or I'll shoot. So you hand him a wad and you fool him, you only give him $4,800. You tell him, here's the $5,000. Is that Usser? You're lying, but it's Pasha, that's Mutzer, because you might not be telling the truth, but you're just doing it to prevent him from taking away money Shalik did. What? That's not Shalom. That's, you're not, he'll like you better if you give him the $5,000. You're doing it to protect money that he has no right to take. So, over here as well, since al pi halacha, the worker had no right to back out by davar avur, telling him, I'm going to pay you more, I'm going to give you extra, whatever it is not going to be awesome. Now, it's a very interesting davar avram. I don't know if it's la halacha, but it's a beautiful chap. I'll say it over. Davar avram is bothered by really two kashas. His first kasha is that the halacha by davar avur is, seicher lei me'matar. You're allowed to fool them. What happens if a person is doing a job, it's a davar avur, goes over to his employer and says, listen, I had enough, I want to quit. Now, I know the halacha is seicher lei me'matar. That's fine with me. You find another worker, you pay him more, I'll reimburse you. But I don't want to do the job. Are you allowed to do that or not? In other words, is the pshat that by a davar avur, you don't have the right to quit? Really, your worker's locked in. Kli B'nai Yisrael applies, normally you can quit. When it's davar avur, there's no Kli B'nai Yisrael, you're forced to do the work. You're forced, really, if you came to Bezdin would take out a whip and make you finish the job. Since that's not very practical, Chazal gave you another choice. If that's the case, and you need to lie to prevent him from doing an Yisrael, you can clearly do that. However, some place can argue. Some place can say that if the worker is willing to accept seicher lei me'matar, he has the right to walk away. When you accept a job, you're obligating yourself. I'm going to do the job. And if I quit, if I walk out on you in a way that will cause a loss, you can be seicher lei. I'm willing to pay the extra that it costs you to hire another worker. But that's it. I never obligated myself to be your slave. I never obligated myself to actually do the job for you. If that's the case, the Darvar asks, why am I allowed to lie to you? The worker has the right to say, I'm not doing the work, go find another worker and I'll pay you the difference. So what's the heter to lie to me to get me to do the work that I don't want to do? The Rambam then asks another question. The Rambam says, Ketzad matzon, how do you trick the worker? It says the worker was paying 100, you say, listen, come, I'll pay you 200, and that's what you do. Friends of Devar Avram, do we need the Rambam to teach us how to lie? I mean, look around, and many people who never learned Rambams are unfortunately very good at lying. Adrav, you need the Rambam to tell the truth to keep you straight. Why does the Rambam feel the need to go through a whole explanation telling you how to lie, how to fool a worker? Well, what's the pshat? Something about Avram, a very interesting pshat. He said, really the halacha is seicher aleihem. You hired him for 100, you can pay another worker up to 200 to do the job. What happens if you can't find another worker? Zokta Dvar Avram, you go to your first worker and tell him, oh, I was going to pay you 100, I'll pay you 200. He does the job, and then he comes, he wants to get paid. Zokta Dvar Avram, you gave your word you're going to pay him 200, you have to pay him 200. But you pay him the 200, and then you tell him the halacha was seicher aleihem. If I have to hire a more expensive worker, who gets the bill? You! So I'm paying you 200, you're paying the extra 100. Zokta Dvar Avram, matzon over here, you're not lying to him, you're telling the truth. You're paying him 200, but that extra 100, he's the one that's responsible for. So that's why he says, the Rambam is telling you, Ketzed Matan, he says, this is the only way you're allowed to fool him. If you lie to him and you tell him, I'll give you 500, or you'd lie to him and you tell him, I'm going to make it easier, I'll give you, that's awesome, you can't lie to him. It's just being mad to him, he says, is nothing, because it's really telling the truth, you're promising him more, and then just deducting the amount that he would have to reimburse you, and he says, that's the only way that it's mutter. It's a very, I'm not saying this is true halacha, but it's at least a nice einfeld.
I would give
$100,000. That would be awesome. If there's someone else willing to do it, it was... No. In that case, really, it's the same. Because you're paying him $200. This worker's willing to do it for the extra $100, so it makes no difference whether he does and you pay him the $200, or the other person does and he gets the bill.
Okay.
Perhaps not. If Avram goes through a bunch of cases like that, where there'll be an afkamina. But again, I'm not saying this is true lahalacha, but at least this is his chiddush. Now lahalacha, there happens to be a major machlokes whether by a kablin or whether by a davar avud you have the right to back out if you accept soich aleihem matan, or whether you have a chiyuv to work. Now most rishonim, the Machad Ephraim is medayik from that, hold that you have a chiyuv to do the work. Basically, although it says kli bnei Yisrael avodim, kli bnei Yisrael avodim means you're allowed to back out in a normal case, so that you're not a slave. But there's no heter to call someone a hefsid. And therefore, by a davar avud, most rishonim will say you have a chiyuv to do the work, and at least in theory, if there's a bezdin there, they would take out a whip and force you to complete the work. The shach and a number of achronim argue and say that no, that you can never force a person to work. If he's willing to accept seich alei mematon, you can, then that is the halacha, and more than that, you can't force him to do. If you make a kinyan, if there's a contract, or there's some form of kinyan, then by a davar avud, everyone agrees you can actually force them to do the work. And they are, even if they want to accept seich alei mematon, they're not going to be able to. And just one last question is, what happens with a volunteer? A person volunteered to help out, he saw you needed some help, and he was unemployed anyway, so he decides he'll do it for free. And then, halfway through the job, he decides to quit. What's the halacha? So over here, there are more paskins that even by davar avod, there's no chiyuv. So if someone volunteers to play music at your son's asana, don't take him up so fast. Because if he decides in the middle that he had enough and he wants to leave, there are more paskins, he has every right to do that. Now the shach qualifies this halacha. The shach says what it means is you can't force him to continue working as a volunteer. He has the right to say, listen, there's an hour left to the chasana. I don't want to be a volunteer anymore. I'm willing to continue if you pay me the wages that a band, that a musician should be paid. That you have the right to do. But to walk out completely and to leave him holding the bag with nothing else to do, that's a davar avod. That, he says, is going to be usur in all circumstances. Now, comes out a little bit of an interesting point. If you look at the Hagoyis Hashri, it really depends what language was used. Hagoyis Hashri assumes that when a person volunteers, he doesn't mean to lock himself into a commitment. I'm doing you a favor, so as long as I want to do the favor, I'm doing you the favor. When I change my mind, I change my mind. To the extent that I'm not locked in, you can't come back to me with a complaint of davar avud, because, like we mentioned before, davar avod is only, I made a commitment, I'm backing out. Backing out of the commitment's a problem. But if I never really locked it in for any period of time, as long as I'm willing to do you the favor, I do it. When I had enough, I had enough. However, the Chazon Ish points out, that if it's a real davar avod, if I tell you know what, I'm going to help you work on your roof. You know, you need a new roof, I'm unemployed, I'll do it for you. I rip off the old roof, and then I tell you, you know what, I had enough, I'm quitting. You look up, and there's a storm clouds, and it's about to start pouring. That's a mazik. So forget about commitment, not commitment. What you did was a hezek. Now, I can't force you to fix it, but I can definitely force you to at least restore it to the old position. There's no heter to be a mazik just because you're not getting paid. The shach, he learns, the Ramah's case is, there's no hezek. You started doing a job, there's no hezek involved. Now the person wants you to finish the job, there you have the right to say, you want me to finish, you have to pay me for my time. Again, going forward. But in any case where there's a real hezek, where you're going to cause damage, there he says, l'kulei amla will be aser, just because you're not getting paid is not a reason to be mazik somebody else. Okay, let's go.